How are we all doing today? Good stuff. Good stuff. Freak out. We need a little bit of freak out here every now and then. And unfortunately, I see in pictures. So when I see freak out, I don't see words freak out. I see pictures freak out. And I see Michael. Do you remember your old movie? Did you ever see the movie Hair? Give me a head of hair, long, beautiful hair. That one? When they're in the park and they're all tripping out and freaking out on acid. Not a good thing. But sometimes we should learn to trip out on Jesus a little bit. You know, let it freak out a little bit and forget about those around us. Sorry, I'm just going to... There we go. Don't hurt myself as we do this. Ephesians chapter 4, please. If you turn in your Bibles with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Thanks to Kevin so much for preaching a great word last week. And one of the things he said I really loved that he said was that he was speaking on building bridges of unity. And one of the things he said was that we've already been given the unity. All we have to do is look after it and guard it and maintain it. It's not like we have to create this thing. And this morning, what I want to preach about is building a bridge to the body. And so that's why we got a half-built bridge there. Building a bridge to the body. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. So if you look in your Bibles at 4, we're going to start reading at verse 17. So this morning we're going to do long reading, short preaching, which is probably more exciting for you than anything else. Listening to Michael freak out up here, he should have just carried on, and I felt superfluous for this morning. But we want to look at what God's word says on this whole thing. And I just, again, I don't want you to hear law that we have to do something, because it's all been given to us. We live under the amazing grace of God. But there are some choices we get to make and things we get to do that help things march along, where we have to look and see. And remember again, I'm just going to remind you, because I want you to get this in your spirits and in your hearts. And by now you should be able to say it with me. We were what? Dead in our sins. Made alive in Christ. Seated in heavenly places. That is key. You must remember that. I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole earth derives its name. I walk in the calling that He has given me, the liberty, the faith, the grace that He has given me. And we do what? We fight the good fight. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities and things in the air and all that kind of good stuff. Part of what we're going to do today is walking the calling, walking in our faith, walking according to. And what we're doing is we're going to walk according to Scripture, which is a good thing to do. And we want to see that, but we have to know, and I said I'm going to preach short. I'm going to try and do that. Well, what we have to know is that what covers this all is when we read chapter 1. Because if you remember, we didn't really start off reading chapter 1. We skipped chapter 1. Because we started in chapter 2 where we were dead in sins. But the precursor to the whole book of Ephesians is understanding chapter 1. Because Paul does a wonderful thing. He writes down, he says, guys, this is who we are in Christ Jesus. And in chapter 1, he almost tells us everything. Dead in our sins, da 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 da. And I can tell you that if we looked at it in chapter 1, is the plan of redemption. How so, Mark? Well, I'm glad you asked. Chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. The Father planned it. You want to take a quick note? You can go and read it afterwards. Verses 7 to 12, the Son paid for it. And verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit confirmed it and set it in place and made it sure. And when we read, and I don't know what version, most versions do this very well. It talks about in. There's a lot of ins in the first chapter. Go and take a pen or a different color pen that you normally use and circle or underline or color in all the ins, and then go back and read it on how we are in Christ. We have every blessing in Christ. We have been made perfect in Christ. Everything is in Christ. That's all about the great book of Colossians, which has mean the primacy and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. But let's go back to where we are today, because I know I'm going to What I want to help us to see today, I know I keep digressing, these little rabbit warrens that I tend to go down, is that the point of chapters 4 and into 5 is where we're going to go, is, you know, when you were, with the teenagers this morning, particularly, and sort of the ladies, because I remember when I was a teenager, and Vince, this is definitely for you, is that you go to your closet, and you look at your shirt, and you put it out, take it out, or your blouse, or whatever, and you put it on, and you put your jeans, or skirt, or whatever you do, and you put it on, and then if you, girl, you do all the other stuff, and you, well, boys don't put makeup on and all that stuff. And they go and you go, nah, and you take it off and you start again. I mean, I had a friend, we used to come home from school, we were like all of 15. And his name was Mark. Not this Mark, another Mark. And he'd go, and we were going to go and play soccer. We were going to play rugby. And we'd say, where's Mark? He said, he's changing. I said, well, dude, t-shirt and pair of shorts, let's go. We didn't even wear shoes. We ran around barefoot. We were hooligans. She's changing. I said, what's he going to change into? A pair of shorts and a t-shirt. Let's go. He had three brothers, and they were like, he was about a year or two older than us. So we were like 14, 15. He was 16, 17. And it looked, it meant important to look smart when you were playing soccer and sweating and, but anyway. That has to have a response, of course. Ask his mom and dad. He's taken up their cupboard space for all the shirts he's got. And his brothers. And then you're looking, that, no, that's good. So you go and you put another shirt on. I do this too, so don't get too excited. And then I put on another pair of pants and you say, well, those shoes don't look, oh, do the socks match? No, they don't match. You know, are you color coded for the moment? So long story short, I could go on for another three changes, but I won't. The point I'm making, was the first set of clothing you had on bad? Were they terrible? No, they just didn't fit for what you really wanted to look like. So the point was you had to take that one off and put on a new one. And this morning, that's what I want to talk about. Taking off the old, putting on the new. Taking off the old, helping us in our new clothes to be effectively construct this bridge that we're talking about. This bridge building series exercise that we're doing. And there are three things that are uncontrolled in our lives that need to be changed. Uncontrolled greed. Now, I'm not going to preach on all this stuff. These are just, I'm just throwing this out. Uncontrolled tongue. Things we say. Uncontrolled anger. And we'll see scripturally, it's okay to get angry once in a while. That needs to be replaced by habits of holiness. Habits of truth and habits of forgiveness. So that's a whole new sermon you can go and develop on your own. But for this morning, let's get down and read, because I said long reading, short thing. Verse 17, chapter 4. I'm going to take a sip of water, if that's okay. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. You remember we did the whole story there? They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Go back to chapter 1. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Chapter 1. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Romans chapter 12. Remember, repentance is not saying you're sorry. It's metanoia. It's a change of mind. It's a change of way of thinking, a change of way of doing things completely. Okay? I'll try not to digress. Sorry? I'm in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay. Well, I will speak slowly. Is that what you're praying for? Okay, so, okay, let me read in chapter 4. We've been reading from verse 17. But that is not the way you learned Christ. We read that in chapter 1. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him. Remember I said the whole thing in him? All in chapter 1. We're still in chapter 4. Okay. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Chapter 4, verse 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, now there's a therefore because it's needed to be therefore. Having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. I had to go to my NIV. NIV says, in your anger, do not sin. But in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. That's the paramount important part. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up. There's the word building. As fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Chapter 5, verse 1, book of Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, walking in the calling, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord within your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here endeth the reading, and may it be blessed, and may it be life to you. Why are you laughing? I know, because I never say that kind of stuff, eh? But God's word is important to us. And may those in his hearing hear it well. So we want to look at what hinders us, and what helps us to build the bridges. As I said, long reading, short preach, and we're trying. Okay, so let's go. Number one. verse 25, chapter 4, verse 20. So we're doing chapter 4 and chapter 5. So stay with me in which chapter we're on. It says, put away falsehood, speak truth. When we see the way we've broken it down, you'll see this is not like hard to comprehend. This is pretty, don't do this, do this. Take off this thing that hinders us and put on this set of clothing here that helps us to build. Put off the old, put on the new. There is no such thing as a little white lie. Well, it was just a little lie. I sort of didn't really tell. You know, there's lies of omission and there's lies of commission. When you actually omit to say something because you're trying to manipulate and you're trying to get some people to think in a certain way, that's a lie of omission. Because there's something in your heart, you want them to think in a certain way, so you do lies of omission and then lies of commission. You just tell little white lies and sometimes just barefaced. But there's nothing. Satan is the father of white lies, little lies, big lies, small lies, some lies, all lies. Don't get caught in the trap. We do not want to be bound to him in any shape or form. We do not want to be wearing these old clothes. We want to be wearing the new clothes. The old clothes that we take off, we walk in the clothes of what? Righteousness. We are clothed in robes of righteousness. We can't really ask the Father, help me not to be such a bad liar. Stop. Step away from falsehood. Walk in truth. Number two, in anger, when we are angry all the time, this is, and pay attention to this, do not sin, it says there. But the whole point of this was not being complacent. Well, if I get angry about this situation, then they'll think that I'm an angry person all the time. No, there's some precursors here to help us that says, don't let your sun go down on your anger. Do you think Jesus wasn't angry with the Pharisees and the leaders of the time? I think he was complacent when he said, you whitewashed sepulchres. No, he wasn't. He was angry. He was angry when he sat and plaited the whip, watched these people messing up his father's house. I'm going to be complacent, I'm going to whip you. No, but I think the point is, don't stay there. Even in righteous, you know, we try and get away, we say, no, there's just righteous anger, and there's this kind of anger. No. Anger's anger, and even if we wanted to term it righteous anger, as Jesus was righteously angry, allowed to be angry, don't let that thing take hold of you. Don't let that hold on to you. Get rid of it. And it's quite clear. It says, do not let the sun go down on it. Husbands and wives particularly. Because what happens? You get into bed. And for the younger people, there's no spooning allowed because now you're angry. So you turn your backs to one another. You go to sleep and you wake up in the morning and it's, hello dear, how are you? And the guys can do that quite easily. Wives can't do that so easily. Have you forgotten what just happened last night? So I just say to you, don't let it anger. Hebrews 12:15 says, let no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. It's when you dwell on that anger and you dwell and you meditate on it and you think about it and you just get, man, the more you get angry. Let the peace that Bridget was talking about this morning, take a deep breath. Release it. Thievery versus hard work. Taking something that doesn't belong to you is not borrowing. It's stealing. This is something that we're talking about. Theft being based on not trusting God. Theft that it says work hard to provide. You've got to understand it's not like, and there were probably some of the Gentiles or those at the time who were actually stealing to help themselves. And you know the old saying? God helps those who help themselves. Well, God help those who get caught helping themselves. So we need to learn that. This is some, the Mosaic Lord said, commandment one, do not steal. Second commandment said, labor 6 days. This goes beyond the Mosaic Law. Because we're living in grace. There is no time frame. It says labor, work hard. And don't steal from one another. The point of it is when we work hard, it's that we can provide for our families, but in a community of unity and togetherness, that we will have access that we can help others. It's the heart of generosity that he's talking about, more so than thieving and not thieving and working hard. Well, hard work is good. Go back to Genesis, it starts there. Adam's first job, gardener. Corruptible speech versus uplifting speech. Don't use words that cut and degrade and bring others down. Murmuring against the family, the job of the church, you know, boardroom politics. Get into the boardroom, have the discussion. Everyone says, everything's good. The manager goes, ha, that was great. And then they all walk down the corridor and they get to the water cooler. We should not be that. Living in unity and harmony, building the bridge together, going forward together. If you gossip with somebody, they will gossip about you when you're not there. No, they don't. They just gossip, but we just gossip about the other person, and then when we go away, we're all okay. No. When you're not there, they will gossip about you. Stay away from it. Where are we? Corruptible speech, incorruptible. Words, use words that are covering, encouraging, edifying, and uplifting. Ministering God's grace. Not grieving the Holy Spirit. Working in unison in this unity and walking this life. Last one here. Bitterness, wrath, and slander. It says so. Let us rather function in kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness. And any attitude that rises above Christ is not a healthy one. It's not a building block that we want to use. Doesn't matter where you are, classroom, boardroom, bedroom, or playing field. There's no place for that kind of bridge to be built. Say we want to be KTF people. Or you can say it. Say, we want to be KTF people. Right. Kindness, tenderness, forgiveness. Look, only two pages today. Yeah. So, chapter 5. What hinders, what builds? Foul speech. Filthiness, foolish talking, crude joking. Should rather have thanksgiving. What does that mean? In the Greek word is there is sapros, means rotten speech. The other one, the thanksgiving, is agathos, which means wholesome speech. Speech that is wholesome. It says no obscenities, no crude joking, no innuendos, no double talk, no jokes, as I would call it, south of the border. Not down Mexico way. But rather grateful speech, uplifting speech, speech with thanksgiving. I mean, you all sat with, we all sat with luck. What's going on with Michael and Janine this morning? Wholesome speech, honoring one another. Absolutely. And listen, guys, it's your turn. You're up today. No, just out of the overflow of their hearts. Our turn next week. Okay. Morally corrupt versus kingdom minded. Chapter 5, verse 5. Sexual immorality, all impurity, covetousness. Rather be kingdom minded. Abstain from sexual immorality, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God and God's children live in a holy, honoring way towards one another. We live for the kingdom. We are united and intricately linked to Christ Jesus. We are the vine and branches, John chapter 15. Remember I said we are not add-ons, we grafted in. We are part and parcel of that. That should be revelatory, exciting. I'm not just an add-on. 2,000, 4,000 years later, here I am. I'm something special. I'm the vine. I'm part of the vine of life. Ephesians 5, a wonderful picture of Christ and the marriage and Christ and the body of Christ. Colossians 1:16, in all things he holds it all together. We sang and we worshiped this morning about Christ being everything to us, and we're all in this together with him, but he's the one who's holding it all together. Okay. This is a very interesting one. Darkness versus light, verse 8. Now I just want to read it again. I'm not sure what it says in the NIV. What's it, verse 8? Because this is a very important thing, because we read it one way, but it actually says another way. Verse 8. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so what do we read that as sometimes? We read it like this. For at one time, you were walking, living in darkness, but now you are living, walking in light. It's not talking about realms. It's talking about us particularly. One time, I, Mark, was darkness. Now that I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I, Mark, am light. Puts a whole new spin and picture on this thing altogether. Because it's not talking about a realm or anything out there. It's just that, and because I was darkness, I was dark. And because I am now light, I'm a reflection of the Most High. Because the light of Christ shines in me and shines out of me. And sometimes you can really see it and sometimes you really can't. But that's okay. It's not about now. It says, now you are. Before we're talking about being the church and the bridge going out and building a bridge to the community. But now you are that bridge. We are the bridge. Each one of you individually. You're either a stay or a tension or a bolt or a screw or something. You're part of that bridge. We are the bridge. We were dark, we now light. Colossians 1, 12 and 13 says the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. Different thing, talking about realms there. Now we see that we are eliminating bad structures. There's a fault in this piece of material. We're not going to use that piece of material to build the bridge. We're going to use the ones that are light and fullness of God. Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And the same goes to, for the next one, verse 15, unwise and wise. Not talking about sort of ethereal. It's that you were unwise, now you are wise. It's not talking about realms again. It's talking about us personally. Now it gets down to the nitty gritty and the individual stuff where sometimes it makes us a little bit squirmy. Because now, is the talk, is my behavior, is the thing I'm stuff, is that unwise stuff coming out of my mouth? Let's finish the sentence. Is what I'm saying out of a heart of purity, of KTF heart? Is there life coming out of it? Is there health coming out of it? Am I encouraging to the body of Christ? Am I, when I preach here, am I encouraging and lifting you? And sometimes you might think, oh, that word didn't help me at all because it made me squirm my seat. But that's exactly what it meant to do. Because we need to be challenged into the thing. Take off the old, put on the new, so we can walk in holiness and live great. Unwise. Sometimes we don't know. We don't have the wisdom. And I think I've used this before, so I'm going to just tell you again. If you forgot it, I'm going to tell it to you now. For those of you who want to counsel and you don't know how to do it, and you don't know what to go, there's a very simple process you go through. It's called SODA. S-O-D-A. Situation, options, decision, action. I have this kind of situation. What are my options? And there might be one, and there might be 5 or 50. In God, we need a good decision and a wise decision. Now let's put that into action. Take away all the, yeah, but you know, what about if I do what, you know, but I don't really like that and I don't want to do this. And now listen, what is the situation? And I'm not going to even name any because I want you, through the Holy Spirit, to hear from God Himself. Foolishness and the will of God. Foolishness is being governed by desires, impulses, hates, and loves. Yeah, when we think we live, if you just took the continuums of, in a marriage, we have a little line here, and we have this thing over here called hate. We've got this thing called love. And we go, I hate you, I love you. I hate you, I love you. It doesn't work like that. Because there's a process that goes around like this. And we get from love you, you're acting like an idiot. You're not being helpful. You're very selfish. I hate you. And we think it goes, hate you, love you, hate you, love you. That is being allowing our emotions and everything that we have to take control of us. Because the same mouth and the same heart 10 seconds ago said, I hate you. I'm sorry, I love you. We don't function like that. We think we do. Okay, some of you believe me. Drunkenness and the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk. Well, let's read it because it's better when we read the word. Okay, over here. And do not, verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Now, what did he mean? What does scripture mean? What does that sort of mean? But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. There's a result, a net result of when we take off the old, we don't get drunk and we don't live in a debauched lifestyle. When we get here and we're filled with righteousness and we lived with a clear righteousness, there's a result of that that comes out of singing in psalms and hymns and encouraging and lifting and KTF and all that kind of stuff. We allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Don't live as in the flesh, live in the Spirit. We can pull out many scriptures to go along that way. The entire theme of this preach this morning, and I'm done, is living godly lives. Say no to ungodliness. Yes to godliness. And the result is verse 19, as I've just said, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And if we took that totally literally, that would be really freaky. But remember, when we come together, and I think in King James, I think this is the scripture where it says, heifer. When they're heifer. If anyone who reads King James here, anyone reads King James? Does it say that there? Heifer. Heifer scripture, heifer psalm, heifer. We call it the heifer stuff. We've got a heifer, heifer psalm, heifer hymn, and have spiritual songs. And so often we do that. Someone comes and says, I have a song, and sing over the body of Christ. Not because they think they've got a good voice, and sometimes they do, and that's wonderful, but it's the Spirit that's coming out, singing hymns and psalms to one another. Doesn't it? Okay, well, then somewhere else it does. I know that. Is it in Corinthians? Okay, thank you. Thanks, guys. That's good, because I want you to suck everything I say. Instead of watching the bridge being built, come alongside and let's build the bridge together. Let's take off the old. And you know what? Sometimes, and I'm not talking about going from darkness, realm of darkness, into the realm of light. I'm talking about sometimes the outfit I got on just doesn't like fit. And now I need to take this one off and I need to walk in this one over here. And sometimes it is clearly these rags that I've been carrying around with me are not helpful rags. I need to get rid of this and take on my robes of righteousness. So there we have it. What hinders, what builds. All encompassed in that is uncontrolled greed, uncontrolled tongue, uncontrolled anger. Let us have habits of holiness, habits of truth, habits of forgiveness. Let us be KTF people. Let us build the bridge. And so I'm going to ask you to do something different this morning. Let's just stand together, please. If you're comfortable, just close your eyes. So, Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. God, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for the word. And Lord God, as we haven't tried to expound on it too much this morning, but Lord, we'd rather let the word speak for itself. Let scripture interpret scripture for itself. And Father, we come and we ask, Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us today. If there are things that are in our lives that are uncontrolled, God, we hand them to you. And I'm not going to call you up front, but you just do business with the Holy Spirit right there with God. Habits that you want us to take on, the lifestyle you want us to take on, Lord God, we hand it to you. Allow our lives to be impacted by that, Father. God, we open our hearts, open our minds to you. Lord God, we are yours completely. Even as you read in the beginning, we know Christ Jesus, not from a sense of the candy man that once I become saved, everything's going to be great and cool and wonderful. But we come from knowing of a life for eternity, Lord. We come and we bask in your grace, Lord God. If there be anything in me, Lord God, Holy Spirit, will you reveal that to me? I open my heart to you. Let me change my uncontrollables. I choose to change my uncontrollables and take on your habits, Lord. For those that perhaps are somewhat undisciplined, Lord God, we pray that you would bring some discipline. Show them how, Lord. Even as we've read and looked at the hows of living in unity, the hows of godliness this morning, and we've given and delivered handles, Holy Spirit, would you just come and germinate and grow within us a life pleasing and favorable to you, Lord. Not from a legalistic point that I have to do more, I have to run faster, I have to jump higher, but because I want to please you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts. Blessed be your name. We entrust our lives to you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of love, the gift of grace, the gift of godliness, the gift of holiness. Holy Spirit, as your word teaches us, train us and teach us and lead us into all righteousness and truth. Blessed be your name. All glory to the King. All glory to you, Lord.